Well, before we continue on in worshiping through looking at the Word, I want to spend just a brief moment in prayer as we prepare our hearts, not just for this time of studying God's Word, but this season that we're in. As Pastor Casey mentioned in our announcements earlier, we are looking ahead. We're looking forward to the Easter season. We're looking forward to Good Friday and really the celebration that we as Christians look forward to the most, or we should look forward to the most, because of what God has done in sending Jesus, the Messiah, to rescue us. So let me pray for us in our time of preparation this morning. God, I pray that you would ready our hearts and our minds for what is the greatest delight and joy our hearts could behold. God, we recognize that too often we come to the Easter season with hearts that are not prepared and not ready. There are plenty of other things to distract us and to keep our focus and our gaze from what is most meaningful, what is most important. But Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would steer our gaze, the longing of our hearts, to what the true celebration and joy of Easter is. That we who were enemies of God, sinful and disobedient, unworthy of being your presence, would be welcomed in because, Jesus, you died in our place. You sacrificed your own life so that we could live. So God, in the midst of the normal busyness that we're a part of, and in the midst of the busyness of the Easter season, quiet our hearts and our minds to hear again the joy of the good news. God, I pray that we would be overwhelmed, that we would be awestruck at what Jesus has done for us. God, even this morning as we look at the promise of Jesus the Messiah in this Old Testament book of Isaiah, challenge our hearts, remind us again that you indeed have not forgotten or forsaken your people, but that you love us, that you are faithful to us, that you are good to us. God, help our hearts and minds to hear and know and see what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we are back in our sermon series exploring the prophecy of Isaiah, and it's fitting that we're in this particular passage during this Lenten season, during the season that we're looking forward to Easter, because the end of this passage really points to Christ, and it's the Messiah who's actually speaking to his people, and so I'm excited about that. I think even as I prayed, it's easy for us, I think, often to forget about the joy of the good news. We kind of become casual about it, or we even become apathetic about it because we hear it so often, and I think even for my own heart, we become numb and we become callous to the joy of the gospel and the good news and the wonder and the grace of God that would send his own son to die on our behalf. And so the celebration of Good Friday and Easter, it reminds us, it brings us back, it calls us back to look at the cross and to look at the empty grave, not to forget what Jesus has done, not to forget who we were before Jesus came, and then to be reminded to have that joy and delight that indeed we have life because of what God has done. We are reminded not to forget about this remarkable story, not to forget about what God has done for us. But have you ever felt like God has forgotten about you? Maybe not totally forgotten, but perhaps we felt like God was preoccupied with something else, or he was busy in somebody else's life, or he was slow to respond in a way that you wanted him to. You might feel that God has forgotten about you because he hasn't answered your prayer in the way that you wanted him to or in the time that you wanted him to. Maybe you feel like God has forgotten about you because you look around at the ways that God is working in somebody else's life and you're saying, why isn't God working in my life that way? Or why don't I have the things that that person has? Or why don't I see God doing something in my life the way that he's doing something in that person's life? Maybe you feel forgotten just because God feels distant to you. Seems like he's not totally involved in your daily struggles. You're crying out to him, but it sounds like, or seems like, he doesn't even respond. This morning I was reading in Psalm 42, and the psalmist is crying out, God, why have you forgotten about me? I turn to you as my refuge. God, where are you? And there are times in our lives where we feel like God maybe has forgotten about us. I remember times when I felt like my mom had forgotten to pick me up from school or from piano lessons or some other activity that we were signed up for. In elementary school, there was a pickup area behind our school that had this big wooden gazebo, and so we would wait there as kids for our parents to come and pick us up. And I remember there were times where my brother and I were the last ones standing in the gazebo waiting for my mom, watching for our gray station wagon to pull around the corner, hoping that my mom would be there on time. As we stood there, I remember getting frustrated, and I remember getting even angry and upset and even wounded that my mom was not there on time. It felt like she had forgotten to pick us up. She forgot about us. As a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, it seemed like, it felt like my mom had forgotten about us. We weren't a priority to her, or so we thought. And so we would stand there in that gazebo, and in my mind, it's pouring rain, right? It's just this sad picture of us standing there, and it probably wasn't raining all the time, but every time she was late, it was pouring rain. We'd just stand there waiting because we felt abandoned. Maybe that's how you feel about God. You might feel like God didn't show up the way that you wanted him to. He didn't come through for you in the way that you expected him to. And the Israelites certainly felt like that, especially where we're at in our passage this morning. And that's exactly what they say, actually. So if you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 49, verse 14. We're picking up in the middle of Isaiah 49. We left here a couple of weeks ago. But we're looking at Isaiah 49, verses 14 through really the end of chapter 50. So if you have a Bible, turn there to Isaiah 49. If you have a device, click over there with me. Isaiah 49, verse 14. It starts out like this. This is what the Israelites are saying to God. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. As a matter of context, God predicts and prophesies the Israelites will feel this way because they're going away. They've been captured by Babylon. They've been exiled to a foreign land. They would be sent hundreds of miles from their home, forced into servitude. They were defeated by an enemy nation. And so now in this bondage, in this slavery and subjugation and their suffering, they looked at their situation and said, God, have you forgotten about us? Do you not care about us? Do you see the situation that we're in? What is happening to us? God, where are you? Their painful circumstances, their insufferable situation had led them to say this, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. But from verse 15 to the end of chapter 50, God assures them that he has not abandoned them. He has not deserted them or forgotten his people. We see in this passage that God gives his people at least 3 ways to respond when it feels like they've been forgotten. As the people of Israel suffer under Babylonian rule, they really do feel like God has abandoned them, that God has forgotten them. They're no longer in their homeland. They're serving under a different master. It seems like their future is bleak. It seems like God doesn't care. It seems like God's not there. And so they feel abandoned. I had a friend in high school. He was in our youth group who was convinced that he was going to be a pharmacist. And so he worked really hard to be that. He did everything he could to put himself in a position where he would become a pharmacist. And he prayed about it a lot. He was convinced that God was going to make him a pharmacist. And so he was looking forward to that kind of life. But when he didn't get into pharmacy school, and it was clear that he wasn't going to become a pharmacist, he was devastated. he looked at what he thought his future was supposed to be, and when things weren't turning out the way that they were going to, it crushed him. He felt discouraged and disheartened because he felt like his life had crumbled before his eyes. Everything that he hoped for, his dreams, his plans, his ambitions were not going to be fulfilled. And so he blamed God. He said because God didn't give him what he wanted, God didn't care about him. He said that because he didn't become what he thought God was going to make him, God wasn't really working for him. In his mind, if God was really there, if God loved him, if God was there for him, God would have made this happen. He felt like God had abandoned him. He felt like God had left him or deserted him. And we might not have the same experience, but if you're like me, you'll have circumstances and situations in your life where you're saying, God, where are you? Why are you not doing something in my life? Why are you not answering my prayer the way that I want you to? God, what are you doing in my life? Where are you? Have you forgotten about me? And that's what the Israelites say. The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. But look at how God responds. Look at verses 15 and the first half of 16. God says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God compares himself to a loving, devoted, attentive mother who feeds her child. I think of my own wife who gets up multiple times a night, constantly, consistently, for five kids now, to make sure that our babies were fed and nourished and comfortable. And God says, I'm even more affectionate and dutiful and dedicated than that for my children. He says in verse 15, even these may forget, or the sense is that human mothers can grow weary. They can't provide the perfect care that God can. Yet, God says, I will not forget you. In these verses, God beckons his people to look back at his compassion and his faithfulness. He says, you're like my child. You're like a baby who I have taken care of from birth. And not just individually, but this whole nation. And so God is saying, think back. Look back at how I've taken care of you. When we look back in the history of Israelites, we see the consistent theme of God's compassion and his grace and his power and his provision for his people. Think of how God miraculously even brought this nation about by birthing this people out of a 100-year-old man named Abraham. That's God's faithfulness. Think of how God sent Joseph into Egypt, who became second in command behind Pharaoh, so the Israelites would not starve during famine. Think of how God carefully planned for Moses to be kept alive so that he could lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, towards the promised land. Think of how God cleared the way for Joshua and the Israelites to take hold of the promised land. Remember how God established judges and leaders for the people, even when they wanted to do their own thing. They could look back at how God had established kings, righteous ones and even evil ones, to bless his people. And even in our own study of this book of Isaiah, it's God time and time again proving his compassion, proving his love, showing his faithfulness to his people. And so God is saying, think back. Look back at my compassion and look back at my grace. God says to his people, think about how I have been faithful. Think about how I've protected you. Just as a mother nourishes and cares for her child, God says, I have cared for you. Think back on your past. There will be times in our lives when we look at our circumstances. We might be in some kind of difficulty or some kind of suffering or some kind of pain. And we'll be tempted to say, God, you've forgotten me. God, where are you? You've forsaken me. But in those moments, God calls us to cling to who he is and to what he has done in our lives. look back at his compassion and his faithfulness. Remember the work that he has done for his people, even in the Old Testament. Look back at his compassion and his faithfulness to you in your life. What are some of the ways that God has been faithful to you? What are some of the ways that God has been good to you in your life? When you are in situations where you are tempted to think God has forgotten about you, think back. Look back. Not just at your own life. Look at the Old Testament. Look at God's faithfulness to the Israelites. Maybe talk to a friend and ask them, how has God been faithful to you? What has God done in your life? Be reminded that God is consistently compassionate and faithful to his people. When you start to feel forgotten, look back at God's compassion and faithfulness. But a second thing that we can do when we feel like God has forgotten us, when we feel like God has forsaken us, is to look ahead to God's promises. This is what God tells his people in the rest of chapter 49. From the end of verse 16 to verse 18, God tells the Israelites that their cities and their walls would be rebuilt. They would be able to go back to Jerusalem to repair their nation, to rebuild the temple. Remember that they're in captivity. They're in Babylon. They're looking around. They're saying, this is not our homeland. We don't get to be where we want to be. But God says, I'm going to take you back. Hold on to this promise. God is saying, I will bring you back to the promised land. And then in verses 19 through 20, this vision of their future expands. It opens up to the eternal kingdom that God is preparing for them, the better Jerusalem that God is leading his people to. And it's not just for the Israelites, it's for all people who trust in Jesus. And so here's this picture of prophecy that God is saying to his people. To those Israelites who are being held in captivity and in bondage, he's saying, I'm going to rescue you. I'll bring you back to Jerusalem. But then he opens up even more and he says, for those who trust in me, every person will have a better Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom to look forward to. He's saying, when you feel like you're deserted, when you feel like you've been forgotten, look ahead. Consider the promise of paradise that God is preparing for his people. When I turned 10, my parents promised me a special birthday party. I was allowed to invite a ton of friends and choose the type of cake I wanted to eat and the food that we were going to eat. And the only thing that I wasn't allowed to pick was where this birthday party was going to be. And it was because my parents had already started planning out where this party was going to be. They promised it was going to be really fun. They promised me that it was going to be something that I would really enjoy. And a few days before the party, they announced that they were going to take me and my friends to this place called Leaps and Bounds. And I'd never heard of it. And it had literally just opened. And so I was extremely skeptical. Actually, I was more than skeptical. I had a bad attitude about it because I was like, none of my friends have heard about this. I don't know what to expect. And I'm not going to have a great time. Of course, it was a great time because they were just opening. They went above and beyond to make sure that we were going to have a great time. It was this place that had like a ball pit and those tunnels that you crawl through and stuff like that. And my friends and I had a blast. It was so fun. You see, my parents hadn't just picked out a place at random. They had gone out of their way to meet with the manager to talk about what they were going to do for this party. They wanted to make sure that I was going to have a great time with my friends. They went ahead because they loved me to explore, to plan, to prepare this place that I would enjoy. I know that my parents loved me because of the work they did to prepare for this day. And it makes me think of what Jesus says to his disciples in John 14. He's with his disciples in John 14 just before he's going to die. He's in the upper room with his disciples just before he's going to be crucified. And he's saying to them, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus is telling them he's no longer going to be with them physically. And it sounds like Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. It sounds like maybe to them, I'm forgetting about you now. I'm going to forsake you. It sounds like that to them because they're saying, Jesus, where are you going? We want to go with you. He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. But then he says this in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'd go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus promises that he is preparing a place for them. He is preparing paradise for his disciples and for his people, and he promises that he will return and bring them home. What we see in the last part of Isaiah 49 is similar to what Jesus says when he's talking to his disciples, and what he says by extension to us who trust in him. We have this unbelievable promise that Jesus is preparing a place for us. If we trust in his death and resurrection, we are assured of a promise of paradise. He is preparing a place for us. And so when we are tempted to think, God has forgotten about me, God has forsaken me, Jesus says, look ahead. I have promised a place that I am preparing for you. Don't you know that I love you? And the assurance of this love is that he is preparing a place for us. So we know, in fact, that God has not abandoned us. God has not forsaken us. God has not forgotten about us, because he is working even now to prepare a place for his people. Just as God promised the Israelites that they could return to their homeland, God promises to take all of us who trust in Jesus to our heavenly homeland. And so when we're tempted to look at our circumstances with doubt, with feelings of being forgotten, look ahead. Look ahead to the promises of God's provision and preparation. Look ahead to God's promises for his people. So when we start to think that God is not there, we question whether God really cares. We can look back on his historical compassion and faithfulness. And we should also look forward to his heavenly promises. But as we see here in Isaiah chapter 50, we should also look continually at the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So look back, look ahead, but look continually at the Messiah. Since chapter 42, if you've been in the sermon series with us, we've seen that Isaiah has presented this theme of God's servant. And this God's servant was applied to Israel, it was applied to Cyrus, and it was applied to the Messiah, Jesus. We saw that God had initially called Israel to be his servant. They were supposed to be a light to the nations. Remember that? They were supposed to represent who God was, who God is, to the people around them. They were supposed to be his servant, but they failed. Because of their sin, because of their disobedience, they were not the servant of God they were supposed to be. And then we see God call Cyrus his servant. Cyrus was this pagan king, the king of Persia, who would come and rescue God's people away from the Babylonians. Cyrus was going to be their rescuer. And so in that sense, Cyrus was God's servant. But Cyrus was not a follower of God. He was this polytheistic king of a pagan nation. And so he was not rightfully, he was not fully the servant that God wanted him to be, that he should have been. But then woven throughout these chapters, from 42 to where we are now in chapter 50, Isaiah reveals to us this perfect servant. There is a perfect representative of God who is perfectly obedient to the will of God. This servant of God was and is the light to the nations. He truly reveals who God is. He would save his people not just from physical bondage, but from spiritual death and enslavement. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus, the promised one, the anointed one. And he begins to speak in verse 4 of chapter 50. If you have that, turn there with me. Verse 4, it starts out with this. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the servant speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am a better servant than Israel. I am a better servant than Cyrus. And then listen to what he says in verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. In this season, as we're approaching Easter, this should immediately draw our minds to the scene in the Gospels where Jesus fulfills this prophecy when he was beaten and spit upon, and he was condemned by the chief priests and the Pharisees before he was crucified. And immediately reminds us of the scene when Pilate orders the Roman soldiers to whip Jesus' back. That is the picture of suffering. That is a picture of agony and anguish. If anything, that is a picture of God abandoning or forsaking someone. In fact, that's what Jesus cries out on the cross. As he dies for our sins, as he pays for our debt, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus was forsaken so that we would not be forsaken. Jesus died the death that we deserved so that we could have life with the Father. Jesus paid our debt so that we could be free and enjoy unbroken relationship with the Creator of our souls. Jesus was forsaken so that we would not be. And Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us or forsaken us, we can look at Jesus, who died in our place, who was forsaken so that we would not be forsaken. When we're tempted to think that God has abandoned us, we can know that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook his own son so that we would not be. When we begin to think that our circumstances are unfair or unbearable or intolerable, when we are suffering through real pain and hurt, where do we look? We can look to our Savior. We can look to this perfect servant of God who died in our place, who took our sin and took our shame and suffered what we ought to have suffered so that we would be welcomed as sons and daughters of God. So we look continually at the saving grace of our Messiah. No, we are not forgotten. We are not forsaken. When we look at what's happening in our lives, we look at our surroundings, we look at our circumstances and our suffering, we might feel like God has abandoned us. We might feel like God has forgotten about us. But what should we do? We look back at the compassion and faithfulness of our God to his people. Think back on God's faithfulness and compassion to you. Look back at the compassion and faithfulness of God to his people. He's done it in the past and he will do it again. But we should also look ahead to the promises of God. He is preparing, he is readying the immeasurable pleasures of heaven for us to enjoy forever. That is ours if we belong to Christ. We can look ahead to know that God is preparing a place for us. And most importantly, we look continually. We keep our focus, our gaze on Christ. who died for us, who gave himself as a sacrifice for us. It is he who truly suffered and even died so that we could be called the children of God. And so here are some ways that we can practically look back, look ahead, and look continually. What really separates us from God, what really causes us to be forsaken is our sin. Because of our disobedience, because of our rebellion, our wickedness, we're separated from God. But God sent his own son to die for those sins. And if you've not yet trusted in Jesus, today can be the day of salvation for you. By trusting in Jesus, in what he has done for you, you are not forsaken. You are welcomed. So if you've not ever trusted in Jesus as your Savior, ask him today to give you faith. Trust in what he's done for you. Believe that what Jesus has done was so that you could be made a child of God. A second action step, as I mentioned earlier, we should look back at God's compassion and his faithfulness. Maybe today or later this week, make a list of all the things that God has done in your life. Maybe not all the things, because that would take probably a long time. But just think back on some of the highlights. Think about the ways that God has answered prayer in your life. Think about situations that you were in that God rescued you from. Think about how God provided when you needed it. Think about how God protected you when you needed it. Here's an action step for you today. Make a list. Just jot down, even briefly, some of the things that God has done in your life. Look back at God's compassion and faithfulness to you. And maybe do this during lunch. Just look at the person across the table from you and ask them, what is something that God has done in your life in the past? How do you know that God has been faithful to you? How do you know that God has been compassionate to you? That's an action step for you today. As you're sitting downstairs at lunch, ask the person across the table from you, even if it's your own child, ask them, how do you know that God loves you? This is a way for us to look back at God's compassion and faithfulness. Third action step, how do we look ahead? Here's another way that we could look ahead to the promises of what God is preparing for us. Maybe instead of, or in addition to making a list of what God has done, begin to make a list of all the things that are going wrong for you right now. That might be easier for us to do in this season, right? Maybe just jot down, here are some of the things that I'm griping about. Here are some of the things I'm complaining about. Here are some of the things that I want God to change in my life right now. And then, beside each of those things, write down reversed. One day, when we are in heaven, all the sad things become untrue. One day, when we reach heaven, everything that is broken will be fixed. Everything that is hurting will be whole. And so here's a way for us to look ahead. Just jot down, here's some of the things that I just don't like in my life right now. Here's some of the things that I want God to change. And he might not change them right away, but one day, as we look ahead, we know God will rescue and restore and redeem. Fourth action step. Keep looking. Look continually at Jesus. I shared before that one of the daily habits that I try to put in my life, one of the routines that I have is to read through the Gospels. And it's precisely for this reason. To keep my eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. And so every day, read a passage, read a paragraph, read a chapter of the Gospels. And just keep going through it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep going through it over and over and over. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And just look at what Jesus is doing. Look at the way that he interacts with people. Look at how people interact with him. Look how he is treated. One of the things that we can do to remember that God has not forsaken us is to look continually at Jesus who he is and what he's done for us. So maybe an action step for you is to read through the Gospels over and over and over. Keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. Regardless of how long you've been a follower of God, there will be seasons in our lives where it will feel like God has abandoned us. It will feel like God has forgotten about us. It might even feel like God has forsaken us. But look back on his compassion. Look ahead to his promises. And look continually at our perfect servant Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. God, we confess that there are times in our lives where we forget, where we think that you have